from John's Gospel about the risen life of the Lord animating the church. And we have one today. We had yesterday the first part of this text, if you remember the Gospel yesterday. And now we have the second part. We're at the very end of the Feast of Sukkoth, which began way back in chapter 7. It goes all the way through to now. And this is just about the end of it. I should say one word before I move on, just for your help. You notice Luke retells the whole story of Peter's understanding about going out to the Gentiles, right? He does that often. He has double narratives. And in one case, he has triple narrative. That's Paul's conversion. He does that so that we'll understand how important these events are. A turning point in the whole history of revealed religion when Peter goes to preach to the Gentiles and eats with them. The Jews knew that what God had given them was for the whole world. But they expected that the whole world would be coming to them, and they would teach them, and they would care for them, and see? And that's not what the plan was. Is that the Holy Spirit would go out to everybody. And so that's that way he recounts, he tells us what happened, then he puts the whole story again in Peter's mouth today. Okay, that's just to help you when you're reading Acts, to watch that. It's got doublets. Tell the same thing twice, so we'll get it. And then, this huge change, three times, he tells us about Paul. Huh? He describes it in 9, and then in 21, I think 28, Paul tells the story. Because that one man, Paul, was the one who actually brought the gospel to the Gentiles. Today, we have this text. I am a good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. A hired man, who's not the shepherd, sees a wolf coming and takes off. Not me. See? Then we enter into this perfection. I know mine, and mine know me. Just as I know the Father, I'm sorry, put it the other way, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Just as. What can that possibly mean? Just as. That's a, you know, there's an infinite, eternal penetration between the Father and the Son, right? From all eternity. Our Lord means that his act of love on the cross, in which he is fixed forever, you see, gives him that relationship. We receive everything from him. Everything. Just as he receives everything from the Father. The Father pours himself out totally in the Trinity to the Word. From all eternity. And Jesus pours himself out forever for us. He gives us his life. Now, we're poor little creatures of flesh and blood, okay? We're not the eternal God. So, for him to give himself to us, there has to be some physical gesture. The Eucharist. That's where all this happens. At the Eucharist, Jesus imitates the Father as far as this can happen, pouring his whole self out into us, just as the Father pours himself out into the Son. but it has this gradual and material dimension, because we are little creatures of flesh and blood. But the rhythm is what our Lord is talking about. And so, then he goes on, which links us with the vision to Peter. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice. There will be one flock, one shepherd. When is that going to happen? One flock, one shepherd. We've got at least 5,000 sects right now. You know, we live in an unnatural situation. And we all suffer from it. This is not the church that the Lord wills. I mean, sure, besides the sin and the corruption and all the rest, which he surely doesn't will, the division. And so, you see, and then he goes on to recall us, as Paul does, to the source of our unity. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own. It is that gift of love on the cross, which is the radiant center of the church's unity. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says the same thing, right? Think alike. Esteem one another greater than yourselves, you know. Have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. Although he was in the form of God, did not consider himself, did not consider being equal to God a thing to be clung to. He gave it away. And that act of love in which he died is the fire of life which keeps the church alive. And every day we come in touch with that fire here in the Eucharist. So there are many themes here. And we should pray today. If the church of all the believers were to be one, think what would happen. There'd be peace automatically in this world. Peace. Others would see this beauty and want to be part of it. Satan knows that. Therefore, he keeps trying to corrupt and divide the church. Well, it's not going to work, finally. The Lord will be the one who has the last word.